Hello, friends, and welcome to another episode of the Side Yard Sidebar. This week, I give a quick update on my 10-pound takedown progress. Zach and I spend a decent amount of time discussing the new Netflix series Love is Blind, and we share a few stories about brakes on classic cars failing us at the worst possible times. All this and more.
Let's go!
Welcome to the Side Yard Sidebar. Grab your drink of the night and pull up a chair. Make yourself comfortable as we bring you discussion with substance and some of the best visitors from Boise and beyond. This is the Side Yard Sidebar. Welcome to the Side Yard Sidebar. Thank you for listening. As always, we are so happy that you listen. And you are here with your host, Zach. You are here with your co-host and producer of the podcast, Dusty. And we are happy to be here with you tonight. Dusty, how are you feeling? It's going to be a great little episode here.
I am feeling good. Yeah, I feel great. I've been sleeping well. I'm energized, refreshed.
And you have side yard gear on head to toe.
Yeah, I
just,
do.
It's getting me pumped up. I'm loving it. Nicely done. And as we kick off every episode, let's talk about drink of the night. What are you going with?
Water. Good old water. I'm at 140 ounces today, so just over a gallon. I've been hitting that every day for the last week.
So basically, while you're doing the challenge here,
yeah,
the Code Red challenge, then we can assume it's water.
So oh, yeah.
The update for you is more how many ounces of water.
Yeah. I think the highest I've hit was like 150. But today, yeah, 140. Comfortable. Like, I don't feel like I'm sucking. Like, oh, I have to get my water in. Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
And yeah, I feel like anytime I've tried to drink more water, if you can spread it out, And you're not trying to force yourself like later in the day.
Yeah, I do 60 ounces before about noon, 2 o'clock. And then I take a little break. And then about 4 or 5, I'll start hitting the next 60 ounces.
Awesome.
Yeah. So I have a plan and it works well.
So that's what I'm working out.
Tonight I did add a little some limes in it.
Is that allowed?
Yeah.
Little lime or lemon?
Lime and lemon.
Nice.
That's about perfect. What are you having?
So I've got the Tito's vodka. It's out of Austin, Texas, and a little bit of Sprite. And it's delicious. I'm enjoying it. I do feel like it's tough because you're doing your thing. You've got the water. I'm having a nice beverage. But I guess that's part of what's going on.
Yeah.
And I think it leads us into an update. We need an update. It's your first week. How is the 10-pound takedown going?
It is going well. I think Christy would be happy with my progress. So I'm down 8 pounds in a week. A lot of that, I think, is water weight. But I'm eating 2 meals a day. I'm not limiting myself to 2, but that's when I'm hungry, and you're supposed to eat when you're hungry. And so 2 meals a day, they're like anywhere between 600 and 800 calories or so, and getting my percentages of fats, good fats, protein, and then a little bit of carbs. But I don't get hungry.
For your first week, were there any days that were tough or like physically,
yeah,
mentally?
So there's one day I had an early dinner. So I've stopped eating around 6:30 after dinner just because I'm trying to not snack or eat when I don't need to. And there was one day we ate early, and then that next morning I was so hungry up until lunch, but I figured out that that dinner the night before didn't have much fat in it. It was more protein heavy.
Oh, okay.
And so the fat is what kind of keeps me full, and I didn't have it the night before. So I've really purposely tried to make sure I have fats at dinner. And it's been working out well.
Awesome.
So far, my favorite lunch, we went to The Habit. I had a double char burger, lettuce wrapped. It's like 500 calories, perfect proportions. It was awesome.
I went to Carl's Jr. one time and somebody, and actually Daniel did this another time, but somebody was ordering something lettuce wrapped. And they were just like, it was part of their normal menu. They're like, okay.
I think I have done one there, and it was pretty good.
Yeah, it's just kind of their... normal stuff, I guess, but just lettuce instead of a bun.
Yeah, the Habit was very good. Their lettuce wraps are awesome. So if you haven't been to the Habit Burger and you like lettuce wrap burgers, go there.
There you go. You've talked about that several times, so I feel like that's a big endorsement.
It is.
Word is getting out there.
Oh, yeah.
Got to go try it out.
Well, and I used to eat at the Habit when I was in Santa Barbara in college, is where it was starting, and oh, it's so good. It's still the same. It's awesome.
There you go.
Before we move on, I do want to tell our listeners that we had a visitor lined up for tonight, and I got a message earlier today saying, hey, he's sick. And we don't want this podcast to be like, nope, sorry, you have to come on. We want high energy. We want someone to be excited to be here. And so I just said, hey, we'll push it back because we want you to feel good. And I don't want you to feel like this is one more thing you have to do. And so they were super happy about it. So we'll rebook this visitor for, I don't know, the future, maybe spring break time. So
you're a flexible producer. You make a lot of great decisions. And although people are signing contracts, you know, they're signing on the dotted line to even, you know, have time with us. I mean, that's all a joke, but obviously, anyway, great decision on your part. And we'll, be able to book them later. And this one, we want to keep it just fun, quick, easy.
Yeah.
And, give people some updates. So what's our first update, Dusty?
So our first update is that I received some feedback today, or not today. I received some feedback on Thursday about our bath and shower little debate and how it was too Boise focused and not Boise and beyond. And I didn't understand that. I was like, what do you mean? What do you mean it's Boise focused? So our loyal listener said, well, in other parts of the country, in Seattle or California, you don't take baths because the water costs too much. And I didn't even think about that. So because I'm on a well, so I get free water, which is the beauty of Boise. But in some of the bigger cities, they were like, that's very Boise-centered. Other people can't relate to that. And I had no idea about that.
Yeah, I've definitely heard about that. Or you'll even see, if you're traveling in California, hotels will have, a placard or information of like, keep your shower short and here's all the reasons why. And, first time I saw it, I thought, this is kind of strange. But then, if there's a drought or if you have lived there, or people who have lived there, then they probably can verify that. And the cost of water is high at certain points in the day. It's higher if you're using it. I know that. And then, avoiding baths based on cost or just like trying to do the best for that area if they're in a drought.
So sorry if that did not resonate with you. We did have a few other listeners come up and say bath all day, like every day bath. And
so
then,
we're getting mixed reviews. So
yeah.
Far.
And then we had another friend that said, if you see me in a bathtub, I'm on my deathbed because I will never do that. So it was interesting. So we're thinking about having gear like side yard bath bro or shower bro or something like that.
I don't know.
It was kind of funny.
Start the debate.
So that was
there does have to be update. Though certain areas of the country. It can't just be Boise, really. That does baths. Maybe it is. But
so if you're listening, well, you're listening, obviously, give us like where are you from and is it more shower or more bath centered, I guess.
We were both talking about you're cold and you take a bath to warm up. So maybe our listeners in Alaska, Iceland, I don't know.
Well,
Montana could say, oh, yeah, it's a cold winter and I work outside and then I come home, I take a bath to warm up.
So I was going to
back us up.
I was going to talk about that. Do you want to know where all of our listeners are from?
Yeah, we should do an update. That was going to be one of the updates. Let's move into that.
So we have a bunch of listeners here in the United States, but we have listeners in Thailand, the UK, Greece, New Zealand, Afghanistan, Vietnam, Austria, Canada, Italy.
The list is growing.
They,
it's really nice to hear that.
listen to our podcast in those countries. That's pretty sweet. So we are global at this point.
We definitely are. Truly global. Now, since you mentioned that, there's one thing I wanted to ask you about that I saw. As I've said on the show before, I'm not the best social media person, but Danielle is. So I saw on the side yard social media the picture of the Mustang.
Oh, yeah.
Tell me more about that.
So if you follow our Instagram, the_side_yard, and you should, I posted a picture of this beautiful Tahoe blue Mustang, and I pulled into Victory Middle School because we were going to watch Nora play basketball. Nora is Kyle and Amanda's daughter. And I saw this and I lost my mind because I had that same exact car. Like 65 Mustang, Tahoe, I think it was called Tahoe Turquoise. And I told the boys in the car, I was like, that's my car. That's my car. Guys, that's my car. Turns out.
Did you totally get up and like look in the windows?
Oh,
and
yeah.
Walk all around it?
Yeah. And it's not my car because I said I hit a wall right here. So there should have been a little mark. And even if you cleaned it up, I could still tell. So it wasn't my car, but it took me back. I had that car in college and I miss it. But I sold it. It was not a practical car in Seattle. And you could get it. It could get stolen at any time. And I had a lot of fun times in that car, a lot of crazy stories from that car. One of them, I'm going to tell two. One of them, I took my car downtown Seattle and I was supposed to meet a friend downtown. I get out, lock the door, put the club on it because that's what I used, shut it. And this guy comes walking up on the sidewalk with a duffel bag, looks over the roof of my car and said, I need a ride. And I looked back at him and said, no. And he looked again and I was like, oh shoot, I just got into this.
So you're on driver's side about ready to get in?
No, about ready to meet my friend.
Oh, okay.
And I just had gotten out, locked the door, shut it. And this guy walks up. I need a ride right now. Big black duffel bag, like moving quickly. I was like, no, I'm not giving you a ride. Seriously, I need a ride. And I responded, no, I'm not giving you a ride. Okay. And then he just bucks down the street. I got back in my car, turned it on, went home. I was like, I'm not leaving this car down here. Like, this guy's going to do something to it. So I was so scared. I can't believe I said no to this guy with a black duffel bag in his hands. But I said no.
Those are the situations. That's just your true colors.
Yeah.
People talk about fight, flight, or freeze, man.
In so that situation.
Like, I need to write no.
and he eventually just said, okay. And then, I mean, went very quickly down the hill.
But
so
still,
I don't know
you
if
were.
Was,
so what were you planning to do with your friend? Like go to a movie or
no? We were
going to
meet at the bar. Okay. I know. I totally left him. I think I texted him. I was like, dude, someone just like, I'm not going to stay downtown Seattle right now.
That's funny.
I fled from there. But here's the other story. That car was old, but Kara wouldn't drive it. Only my dad would drive it because once you'd hit the brakes, it would either go left or right, and you had to be prepared to overcorrect it. So it was not a smooth ride. And one time I went to school at Westmont in the Montecito Hills, Santa Barbara, amazing school, but it's on a hill. And we were playing a show. My band was playing a show at the lower campus. And I picked up this guy, loaded all of our gear into my Mustang, and just kind of were cruising to the lower campus. It was probably a 1 minute drive. And I went to hit the brakes and the pedal went straight to the floor. And we missed the turn.
And just no resistance.
None, just. And it went to the floor and stuck there. So it's not like you could pull it up and it was done.
Like you missed a turn and blew a light or a stop sign or just missed?
No, I missed the right-hand turn to go to the lower campus. And so in front of me on this hill, it's a straight hill, straight down, I don't know, quarter mile or so, half mile. And it ends up at a T with a fire station at the end of it. And this kid okay. I had with me was a freshman, and we kind of looked at each other, and he kind of looked like, what are you doing? I said, my brakes are out. And he kind of got really white, went really pale. And I kind of, in that moment, I froze. So I think in that moment, I pushed it up into neutral, which was not the smart move, but can't correct it now. And I told him, buckle up. So we weren't buckled because we were just going to go to lower campus. And so we buckled up, pulled the emergency brake. It wouldn't catch. And I was fearful that day of I didn't know where I was going to go. It was a Friday night.
So you did have good reaction, though, in my opinion, of you're trying to pull the emergency brake at least.
Yeah. Yeah.
But so then you're not getting any.
Nothing.
Nothing's catching.
No. And so I was getting super nervous, and I told him, you know, everything slows down in that moment. So I told him there was an elementary school at the end of the hill on the right that I was like, I'm just going to jump the curb and go into the, you know, playground area. It was Friday night. Everything's fine. Well, as I'm, what? You're like, wait.
My eyes perked up because, come on, Friday night, playground, elementary school. You don't think there's kids or teenagers doing unmentionable things?
Not at that one. That was a nice area.
I'm just joking.
So I was like, we'll just go in there. Well, it turns out there was some music performance, and the parking lot was packed, and I could see the cars lined up in front of me. So I gave it one last try on the old e-brake, and I pulled it, and it caught, like just enough to start slowing me down. So then I pushed it back in, pulled it out, pushed it back in, pulled it out, and there was one spot left in the parking lot. As I got in, took a right, and it literally, I hit the curb a little bit and stopped. It was one of those like miracle moments for me. I was in we didn't talk for about 10, 15 seconds. We just sat there. And then I think I had a cell phone at that time, and I called my buddy's like room, and I said, hey, you need to drive down and pick us up. And he said, why aren't you at the place or wherever we were playing? I said, well, my brakes blew out and I'm at the bottom of the hill. So they had to come down and get us. But that's one of the scariest things of you push down and there's no resistance. And you're just like, oh, crap, I'm screwed.
I can only imagine. So I haven't had that situation happen to me personally as a driver. But I have a similar situation.
Really?
Do you mind if I share? Do we have time?
No. Okay. Oh, we have time.
So,
So mine was an old car, and something happened. I don't know. I can't remember.
Well, the first thing I would say is my first car. Was that your first car or just
no?
Your,
that okay. was no. My family has a lot of cars.
Okay.
Like a lot of random cars throughout the years, but that was the one I had at that time.
Okay. My first car, though, was from the 60s, so I can relate to driving an old car. I had a 1962 Mercury Comet.
Oh, yeah.
White outside, red interior.
And yeah.
That thing was fun to drive around, and I had it when I was going to Boise High.
Okay.
No, you know, super crazy stories with that one, but...
But in this one as a passenger, was it a newer car or older car?
The brake one, no, that was a Cadillac.
Ooh.
55 Caddy.
So it was an old car.
Yeah,
that
so
one
my
was.
Friend
okay.
had, we were either maybe juniors or seniors, but he had gotten his license kind of late. And, you know, compared to some people, they're getting it like 14 or 15 maybe. Anyway, so his, you know, he had his license for a while, was driving whatever car, I can't remember. But then we're going on this road trip and, well, not a back then it seemed like a road trip, but we're just going camping in Ketchum, Sun Valley area. And he talks to his dad, and his dad lets him take the 55 Caddy. And it had, I guess, been driven around town a little bit here and there, but like not driven long miles in a long time.
Okay.
But it's still running. It's going to get us up there. Well, we're taking off a little early. And I can't remember all the details, but we're going to take the scenic route, and we're going to go up through Stanley, then go over Galena Summit and drop into Ketchum and Sun Valley that way. So we get going. Horseshoe Bend Hill's fine. We stop at the hot springs in Ketchum, jump in, you know, spend an hour, half hour there, whatever. We get up through Stanley. It's fine. And, you know, some people are passing us or people on the side of the road, they're honking their horn. They're like, awesome car.
You get that.
The
with
top's
old cars.
Down. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, it was just amazing. And, you know, we've got our junk food or whatever, and we're just having a great time. Maybe radio on, I can't remember. But we're just, you know, slowly but surely just having a great time driving up there. And we go all the way up Galena Summit and then on the way down Galena Summit, going from Stanley to Sun Valley, the brakes are out. Like you're saying, completely out. So my friend, it's like, takes a corner super hard. I'm like, whoa, what happened? I mean, I'm kind of like hanging on to the side of the, you know, on the passenger side of the car in the door. And then he's like, the brakes are out. But he had like good reactions and grabbed the e-brake. Now in that situation, the e-brake was working. It was okay. Catching, but it was super like touchy. Like, you know, he'd kind of pull it and then it would just kind of jerk. And then, so basically he just got in this pattern. You know, back then there's no cell phones or in the traffic. I don't know what day of the week it was, but it was super light. We're barely seeing anybody, you know, coming from either direction. And he just, you know, babies it down the hill. You know, there's a lot of switchbacks. It is steep at some points for sure. And he just babied it down. And then even when we got down, we're like, man, this probably isn't good to use the e-brake. But again, we had no resources to call from there. So we got it all the way into Ketchum or wherever we were going. We were able to call his dad, and his dad came up with a truck and trailer and got it back to Boise himself. But still, it was just like this freak situation. And, you know, even when his dad's talking to us, he's kind of like trying to figure out, like, what happened? Was it something that we did? And it's like, no, this thing hasn't been driven.
Yeah.
And luckily, we did the best we could to figure out, like, how to get it where we did safely.
Yeah, it's those old ones. I mean, there's no, you know, computer. There's no sensors. So if it goes, it goes. Like,
oh, yeah.
You have no warning. And it's scary. So I'm sure your friend feels the same way. When you touch brakes now, you kind of, like, for me, I want to feel tension. If I don't feel tension at some point, I get a little bit nervous.
I can understand that. Yeah, you want to test them.
So
now I have driven cars that kind of have soft brakes or something needs to be done, and yeah. It's just then you get in a car that have like super touchy brakes. There's just there's a big difference there. So that one didn't seem like, looking back on it, maybe I should have been more scared than I was, but. Awesome friend, good reactions, you know, did the right thing and it ended up working out. But I can only imagine, like in your situation, the e-brake wasn't working at first. For us, if the e-brake wasn't working,
done.
Like, yeah, we're crashing it into the side of a hill, hopefully. Hopefully, you didn't take us off a cliff.
Yeah.
Because when you have those switchback roads, you're either, you know, you have got the cliff on one side, the hill on the other.
Well, so mine was a pole. So it wasn't on the right side. It was left side underneath kind of the steering wheel by the door that you would pull out, and it didn't, like, when it finally caught, it just kind of went, but it didn't jerk forward. Like, it was
okay,
barely it was still slowing even, it down.
Yeah,
but it was enough. So
his was a pull one as well. Like, he's reaching down. So that was the other thing. At a certain point, I was like kind of helping guide the wheel when he would pull it, because he had to lean so far down on that caddy to grab it and pull it. And he was still had one hand on the wheel, but then I would also kind of help. And yeah, it was,
oh gosh,
it was crazy.
That's so scary.
Oh man.
Old cars are beautiful and fun, but my parents, I think when they brought it back from Seattle home, the heater didn't work. My dad was scraping the inside of the windshield.
Oh gosh. Because
It was frosty enough. They brought it back in winter and they had blankets. And he said that was the worst drive they've ever had. Because they're not practical in any way. Because mine did not have AC. It didn't have anything great. And so,
now that you brought this up, like, my mind is just flooded with even more stories of like close calls in cars.
Maybe we make that another episode.
Yeah, it can be its own episode.
We call Trevor, because Trevor had tons of car episodes or car stories.
Yeah, exactly.
And let him be a part of our car spectacular.
It almost seems like with people, if we just need a little like 5-minute story, we just ask them, what's the craziest car experience you've had? Because everybody can probably relate.
Let's do that.
Throw that in randomly whenever we want.
So if you have a fun, scary, interesting car story, take a voice memo of it, like record a voice memo and email it to sideyard@yahoo.com. Or if you have my phone number, email it to me, send me a DM on Instagram and send that. And then we'll play it on air and we'll just play a bunch of car stories. That would be awesome.
Yeah, that'd be great.
It takes you just a few minutes to voice record on your phone and then text it to us or email it to us or whatever.
I can just see it now or like hear it now. You have like, I'm Michael from Canada, one of your loyal listeners, eh? And my car story is blah, 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 blah.
Yep.
Thank you, Michael from Canada.
That's what we want.
There
so
you go.
Please do that. That would be so much fun to hear some of those.
Now, the only thing I have on our list, we got on a little tangent there, but that was great. That was some good stories there, was March Madness update and then winners and losers, right? And we're just wrapping the sucker up. So
yeah, that's it.
March Madness, brackets, you got to email us if you want in. I know it's a little bit early, but it's going to be here sooner than you know.
Yep.
So you just email us, hey, I want in. That's all you have to say. Hey, bracket challenge, I want in, or whatever, however you want to title it. We just need to get your email so that we know you want in.
Yep.
We'll create the group. We'll send you an email back to all of our people that want to be in it, and then you'll sign up on whatever platform.
I already made one. It's on
perfect.
Yahoo.
On Yahoo. There we go.
So I will get that all posted, get people to respond. Yeah, that would be fun. It's free. We'll have some side yard swag for the winners, multiple people.
Yeah, it's just free swag for the winners. And then I think the other thing is bragging rights. Because now I've definitely know people that are listeners that know that other people are listeners. And,
yeah.
That, you know, they're part of the community. They're part of the side yard community. And they enjoy listening. They enjoy coming to events or whatever their participation in the side yard is. For them to have the bragging rights and to win,
yeah,
they're going to be loving it.
Huge. So, yeah, I'll put that out this week. Let's get it loaded up. And San Diego State lost to UNLV the other night.
Oh, yes, I saw that.
So, and Gonzaga lost to BYU. So, it's already madness happening.
Yeah, it does seem like a season where there's not necessarily a clear number one. Just they're totally going to make it happen.
Yeah.
We can tease the episode coming up in March where we will, on Selection Sunday, talk about the brackets. We'll bring on a visitor that a lot of people know and love, and we will dissect things and talk a little March Madness. And we'll also recap the high school basketball tournaments.
Yeah.
And that'll be fun to talk about. So a lot to look forward to.
And we will be at the Bora Rocky District Championship game Friday night.
Yeah, any of our fans that want to come out in side yard gear, we'd love to see you there. Bora versus Rocky District Championship or District Finals.
Yeah.
And the winner, I think both of them will make it in for sure to the state playoffs. But the winner of that, it does impact the seeding. And then also in my personal experience, I've seen district championship games that have actually been better than what ends up happening at the state finals.
Yeah.
So it's really a great time to come out. Definitely get there early, get in line, and do the best you can to get a good seat because it will fill up fast. But
And we'll be there a little bit early to get seats.
Oh, for sure.
We like to sit front row if we can. And I think it's at 7 o'clock at Rocky Mountain.
Why does Rocky get to host it? Just cause like a better record, or was that just the host site?
I think that's just
like
the
I
host
went
site.
One year and it was at Meridian High, but the teams that were playing it was like Capital versus Rocky, I think, but Meridian High was hosting it.
Yeah,
so
I think
just like randomly there.
Yeah, I think it might rotate. So
we'll
be there.
A home game for Rocky, I guess.
Yeah,
but I know who I'm going for.
Me too. I'll go for Bora.
I'm definitely going for Bora.
Bora is excited to watch, so yeah.
Some of our listeners, though, that might actually show up and watch, I think will be going for Rocky.
That's all right.
So we'll see.
We love everyone.
That'll be fun.
Yeah. So let's do some winners and losers.
Yeah, let's do winners and losers and close this thing out. I'll let you pick. You first or me?
Me. I always like
you
when you close out. So my winner, my boys went to the DeMeyer Park today. My wife wanted to take them to the park. They wanted to go to the park. It was a beautiful day, but that's not my winner. The winner is my boys played a pickup flag football game with other kids that were there. Some kid brought a bunch of flags out, and my boys went up, say, "Hey, can we play?" "Oh yeah." And they played for like 30 minutes. And Kara was like, it was so great that our boys have the experience of going to a park, meeting random kids, and having a pickup game of something. It reminded me of the Sandlot, like guys just going out to a park and having fun. And so I'm really glad that my boys had that experience today. They had a great time. Both of them enjoyed it. So that's my winner. Just get out and play.
Yeah,
have
that's
fun.
Awesome.
Meet new kids. It was great.
Well, even the fact you took them to the park today, like that's something where with the girls were around the house today, and I kind of wish we would have done that because the weather was really nice.
It was beautiful.
Before it started raining and getting windy tonight, you know, after the sun went down. But yeah, this afternoon it was great. Saturday was great. That was the first time I started thinking about golf. And then a couple of my golf friends are saying, "Oh, when are we going?" And I guess Friday and Saturday this next week are like in the 60s.
Okay.
So the clubs might come out. But yeah, it's the weather's already turning. This
is
awesome.
Great. Yeah, I love it. So that was my winner. My loser, it's not so much a loser as it is I don't get it. It is the Netflix show Love is Blind. It's a new dating-ish show. And I mean, I don't watch it. Kara's seen it. She's caught up on all of that stuff. Have you seen it?
I watch it.
You do? Okay, good.
As soon as you said it, I was just like, yeah, I've seen it.
So
it's on Netflix.
Yeah, it's on Netflix.
Netflix show.
I mean, I know the basic idea of it. I saw the trailer. But outside of that, I cannot get into it. Is it fun? Is it good?
Well, I mean, I've been watching it with Danielle. And so there's certain things like she'll watch Bachelorette. And I've fully said, nope, not going to do it anymore.
Yeah.
I did used to watch them here and there, and I did like the drama and like just the weird stuff of what happened. But now I'm just like, oh man, there's better things to do. But I have gotten sucked in, or I don't know, not even sucked in. I mean, I've been fully watching this one, and it is strange. It's very weird. Do you want me to, can we go into
give
it a little
very
more?
Quick idea of how this works, and then yeah, I'm going to take you through what I asked Kara today.
Oh, okay.
So give us a quick, what is it?
Yeah, the basic thing is they want to see if love is blind. So they have this like building or dorm or what do they call it? The pods. And it like think of just this big hallway with this huge wall. And then on one side is all these guys. The other side are all these women. And they can go into like their dating room or whatever. And they just talk to people. But it's through this wall, you can only hear their voice. You can only hear them talking to each other. You can't see each other. So there's all these guys, all these girls, they go on these different dates and these different things and talk to people and get to know them. And ultimately, the goal is to find somebody that you connect with and that you love so much that you're willing to get engaged to them.
Without seeing them.
You're going to basically agree to marry them without seeing them. And so it doesn't happen for everybody. Like the show, I don't know the exact numbers, but it starts with quite a bit of people. It gets narrowed down to, I think, either 5 or 6 couples. So
there are
5 or 6 people
that come out of this.
Yeah, I believe so. At least 5. So, and then they like get to the first time they see each other is when they're actually proposing. They give the ring. And at that point, all of them accepted, unless I totally missed a part. But they all accepted and were like, yeah, let's get engaged. And then at that point, now they see each other. So now the show is progressing to they're together. They get to go on like to this resort and meet each other for the first time. But the show then starts to sabotage things because they bring all the couples to the same like vacation place. Or then after that, they all go back to the States and they're all in Atlanta. So they're all in the same like apartment complex in Atlanta. So they have one-on-one time, but they also meet up as couples. And what happens is they sabotage it because some of the people dated the other ones like through the wall. in the first stage of the show.
See, and I'm already like...
So they're like, okay. I ended up with this, you know, this one girl. I ended up with Mark, but I actually think this other guy, you know, would have been who I wanted if I could have seen him.
Oh, gosh.
And it's so, I don't know. It's trying to prove love is blind.
But not.
Then, yeah, then you start to see people, or you start to, then you're with them in real life, social media, pressures of your job, or I don't know, your real life, and things get different.
Okay, so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to name, if you haven't watched this, maybe pause the episode here. We're not going to give a ton away, but I am going to...
And I don't know if my description made people even want to watch it. Maybe made them want to avoid, but...
But there's... I'm just going to name the couples that are now on it.
Okay.
And then I'm going to ask you if you think they are going to, quote or whatever, make it.
Okay.
Okay, so...
Well, that's a good thing to bring up. So, like, next week is when they have to decide the ultimate decision. Are they getting married or not?
Oh, okay.
So what I'm watching right now is, like, they've made it. They're back in the States... in Atlanta, and they're planning their weddings. But then the ultimate decision is you've gone through, you know, several weeks of just talking to each other. Then okay. You saw each other on a vacation. You saw each other in Atlanta for a couple weeks. You met each other's families, and now they've got to decide, okay. Are they going to get married?
So I'm just going to name them. You give me a quick. Okay. Carlton and Diamond. I don't know who they are.
They already got in a fight and broke up during that vacation stage.
Okay.
He dropped a bomb. I'm not going to mention it here. Maybe that's a teaser to watch it, but he dropped a bomb. It's not side yard stuff we can talk about, but they got in a fight. She didn't handle it super well, but it also was a bomb.
Okay.
And he also got mad at her.
Okay.
They are not getting married.
Okay.
Take that one to the bank. Take that one to
the bank. Damien and Giannina.
Okay. For them... They've had some really great connections and some really fun moments, but they've also had some really tough, like, fights.
Okay.
Like, in some strange things that happen, and they'll really get passionate. But I will say that they do get married. And
oh, all
right. And then if they get married, I don't know how long it will last, but what they've done is when they hit those fights or the tough things, they've actually worked through it. And gotten on the other side of it from what I've seen. So I think,
yes,
good on them.
Okay.
Have some of those fights before you get married, and I think they'll decide to get married.
Okay. Barnett and Amber?
They're getting married.
Okay.
That one I don't think will last, but maybe it will. I mean, I could be wrong, but I would say 99% sure they're getting married unless she does something insane. She's a little bit crazy, in my opinion. And
okay.
If she pulls something weird here in the last couple episodes where they have to decide, it could be done, but I'm going to say yes, they're getting okay. married.
Kenny and Kelly.
Kenny and Kelly are somewhat of a boring couple, okay. But they are pretty solid. And they're actually the best when their families met, or when... So when they are meeting the families, it's been individual, but on theirs... The parents were at, I think, her place and invited his parents. So they all met, like, the families met each other and they met the families, and it was really cool. I think they're definitely getting married.
Okay. Mark and Jessica.
Oh, man. This one's rough. I hope they don't get married. They better not. I'm going to say they don't. Hopefully he's wise enough. This one's kind of one of the main stories in the show. She's 34, he's 24. There's drama all through this thing. Don't let me do any spoilers.
Okay.
If anybody wants to watch it. I'm going to say no.
All right.
But if they did, then great. And if they did, also, I'm going to say like 2% chance it stays together.
Okay. And the last one is Lauren and Cameron.
That one's interesting. And... He's very touchy. He's always got to be like have his hand on her shoulder, on her leg. Like just it's too creepy. It's
okay.
Too close, in my opinion.
Okay.
There might be ladies out there that are like, oh, yes, I like that. I would like a guy like that. Not me. No, no, no. And I don't know if ladies like that. Me as a guy, I couldn't. It just is strange.
Just too much. Okay. So, is that a good touch thing?
But no. No, I think they will get married.
Okay.
And I hope it works out. They're actually very kind. And they're like, she's one of the best people and kindest people. And he's a great guy. But it's just, there are some creepy vibes there.
All right.
Good I don't to think know. It will prevent marriage, but.
Okay. Well, that was my loser slash. I don't understand it. But I'm glad either. You know.
I do know a
lot. So you go. What are your winner and loser?
Okay. My winner of the week is from the world of boxing.
Ooh.
And
okay.
I've got to give a lot of props to Tyson Fury. I was able to watch the fight, Fury versus Wilder 2. And man, he came in and he put on a bunch of weight. And he was like, I'm going to put on a bunch of weight and I'm going to knock this guy out. And he did it.
Yeah,
he did. And
he
knocked him down. He hit him in the ear. His ear was bleeding, man. And the announcers, Lennox Lewis was one of the announcers. I don't know the other guys. They were talking about it. His ear was bleeding. Please look up the highlights if you haven't seen it.
Okay.
Oh, his equilibrium was messed up. And the guys were talking about it from like the third round. He lasted until the seventh. But if I remember right, he got knocked down in the third once, in the fourth once, and then in the seventh, finally, it was called
off.
And
they threw in the towel.
Not the towel. The ref stopped it. TKO. So technical knockout is like you're basically punch drunk. You're like you're still on your feet, but the ref is like, this is unsafe.
They said
A KO?
No, his corner threw a towel in.
Oh gosh, I did not see that. So, okay.
But
that makes
way,
more sense because I did think when the ref stopped it, I was like, on the one hand, it made all the sense in the world because it's like he was just getting brutally beaten.
So
on the other hand, I was like, what? Yeah, so
it was just like, he's done.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
So they called it before the ref
was
going
rough.
To.
The thing with Wilder, though, what makes him so dangerous is his right hand is so powerful. He can knock somebody out at any point. But the problem I guess why it's my winner is Fury said, I'm going to come in there, and he lost the first one. This is number two, so he won this one. But he said, I'm going to put on the weight, and I'm going to press forward. I'm not going to be the counterpuncher. I'm not because Wilder likes to be the guy, the aggressor, and come forward. And he totally was able to be the aggressor, to come after Wilder. It put him out of his element. And even in the first, second, like he still had some good punches against Fury, a couple combos, but ultimately Fury said, here's my game plan, and he executed it.
That's
so
awesome.
So Wilder at the weigh-in was like 231, I think.
Yeah.
Fury, 6'9", 271.
Yeah.
And
huge.
He still has these super, he's just a huge dude, but he has fast hands.
Okay.
And it was just fun to watch. Awesome match.
That's awesome.
And it reminded me of the Triple G versus Canelo fight where Canelo said, I'm going to stand my ground. I'm going to come after you because usually Triple G, Glovkin was the aggressor. And it was kind of the same thing. Canelo's like, no, I'm going to actually come after you this time. Was able to do it. Now, that fight was more of an even draw. It went all the way. Got ruled Canelo as the winner. Whatever. I could have seen it either way. But I just like it when a fighter calls their shots and then they're actually able to execute on it and make it work. So, very nice fight.
That's
if you
great.
Like boxing, go check out the highlights or maybe watch the whole fight. You'll really enjoy it. And then my loser of the week comes from the world of politics. And anybody that was able to see the Democratic debate, my loser is Bloomberg. Bloomberg totally got exposed. Elizabeth Warren and the others, they de-pantsed him. He was sitting up at the podium with his pants at his ankles and in his whitey tighties, or maybe those got pulled down too. I don't know, but it was bad.
Really?
And he wasn't ready with his responses. So the actual debate night, I was only able to watch clips here and there. Then the next day I was able to watch highlights, and it intrigued me enough to watch like more, you know, not necessarily the full thing, but to watch a little bit more of it. And it was just interesting to see last election, we had a bunch of Republicans. And I really enjoyed those debates because they are going after each other.
Yeah.
Jeb's mad and Rubio and Cruz and Trump and Ben Carson. And like they're all mad and they're going after each other. This time it's on the other side. And the first couple debates, the Democrats were kind of playing nice. And they're just like, oh, everything's fine. We all agree on stuff. You're a little different here, a little different there. This Not debate, this finally the gloves came off. And all the things that Warren said, or Bernie, or Mayor Pete, any things that they said, Bloomberg, to me, got exposed. If you're a Bloomberg fan, I don't want to make this political in terms of, oh, I'm railing against Bloomberg, and I'm coming after you if you support him. I'm just saying, can we all agree, not his best moments in that debate?
Yeah, and that's what we do. We provide commentary on stuff, and I love your commentary on that, because
I'm taking a hard stand. He lost. It was bad.
Okay.
Go back and watch it. It's very cringeworthy in certain moments. And
I love cringeworthy.
Oh, exactly.
And the best part is there's going to be a bad lip reading on this debate, and it's going to be awesome.
I wish I could remember it word for word, but Bloomberg, excuse me, Warren was saying, yeah, there's a guy, or one of the candidates are calling people like ugly women and horse-faced lesbians. And it's not Trump. It's Bloomberg.
Wow.
Yeah,
she went for it. Okay.
Yeah, anyway,
that's fun.
I probably messed that up. Anyway, go back and listen, though. And in her own words, you'll hear it. And then he was just caught flat-footed. And I don't even know how he got into the debate, because there was like a lot of discussion of, you have to have certain rules to get into the Democratic debate. And he just started putting a bunch of money and a bunch of ads in, but didn't meet other rules.
Huh.
But they changed the rules for him to get him in.
Interesting.
So it'll be interesting to follow that side. Super Tuesday's coming up. I do know that for Nevada, Bernie won.
Yep.
So, and then I think it was Biden and Mayor Pete were kind of like juggling for a second on that one. So maybe Bloomberg is a non-factor and he spent like $300 million and he'll be gone in a couple weeks potentially. Yeah. But
All right.
He's definitely the loser of that debate.
Good to know. I love it.
There you go. Go and listen to more of that. Go and research any of these things that we talked about. See the fight. See the flag football game. I know
Love
you
is Blind
recorded that. See the Love is Blind.
Oh,
no,
it's
anyway.
All good.
Every time we talk, I thank you so much. Thank you for letting me know you, Dustin.
And Zach, thank you for being known.